Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
I'm in charge. I'm the captain here. Welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 594.
We do.
Recording live on February 25th, 26th. Ah, 2025. I'm one of your hosts, Adriel.
I'm another one of your hosts, Dustin.
I don't have a show notes up, so I don't know.
I'm not in Cowtown, Tony.
And then there's Kels.
And I'm Kelly. Anyway.
We got through.
Not abs.
We did it.
We did it.
Barely.
Team effort.
Seems like old time.
Wrecking the train. But we
all crashed it together. It's great.
Yeah. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to do what we did in Gens, starting with me, mostly just so I can get it done with. I did a our pal over the last weekend, and I cleaned my A-bolt. I was actually doing that on the show last week, just like picking away at it. That bolt was kind of a pain in the ass to clean. It's like, you got to pull back on the striker, but the striker's like just a divot. They need to pull it like a 90 degree to the divot, which is, if you have the special tool for it, it's probably very easy. If you don't have a special tool for it, you got to put together some monstrosity to, I think I sent you guys the photos.
It was a monstrosity, a beautiful one.
Yeah. But it worked really well because I was trying to take it apart without doing that. Just putting something in there and pulling on it, and it didn't work. Anyways, I cleaned that thing up and I was like, man, what age is this thing? It's 1992. That's what the serial number came out as. It's not as new as it looks. It looks in better condition than 30 years old or whatever. But got that article out. So I wrote an article on the A-bolt. I've shot them before. I think I've owned one before. My buddy owned one. I didn't do an article on it for some reason. So now's my chance to get it in there. TLDR, yeah, solid rifle, just weird hinged floor plate magazine thing. Rest of it's cool.
Some people really like it. I don't quite understand, but I know some people really like it.
It was one of the first rifles that used that 60-degree bolt lift. Like, that was one part. So, like, the bolt doesn't lift quite as far, and you can get a scope really low. A lot of rifles for the longest time just ran the 90-degree, like, two-lug bolt. And then the other thing... Like those guys started messing with synthetic stocks pretty early as well. I remember the Tikas were one of the earlier ones that was like, no, synthetic stock, it's wood stocks for the birds, right? And then, you know, Browning was pretty quick to adopt those as well. But I've got that article and that video with one of my two editors, which are my kids, but yeah, they're working
just
on that.
Doubled your editor workforce. That's good.
I've doubled. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've been getting out more videos recently, and it's not because it's not me. It's actually my editor throughput. That's improved there. And not that I couldn't edit them myself. I just, you know, I kind of want them to do it. The weekend coming up, I'm going to be doing a private RPAL course and a range visit. I'm going to do a range visit this weekend. What's that?
That's exciting.
Yeah. I've been scheduling more private RPAL. I've actually done courses for 3 out of the 4 weekends this month, which is good. That's good.
That's good.
Lots of demand for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Booked out some more public ones as well for the rest of the year at Sherwood Park. Just get them up on the website and that kind of thing. Still lots of demand for PAL, not too much demand for RPAL right now. Still enough that people are doing them, but not a ton of ton. That private one I might do is like kind of up near way up north. So that should be good. The weekend after, so March 8th, three gun. I'm gonna be shooting some three gun, and I need to set up a belt for what rifle I'm gonna use, because right now my belt's set up for AR mags. And
are you gonna run one of the, did you get one of the little Ronin things?
No, I mean, I could run Tony's gun until he wants it back, that Patriot.
Nah, just run it.
Yeah, I could run that bolt action. I could run Garand or the R9 or an SKS. But based on that Facebook post from Tracy and kind of what I've been hearing, like, I don't know, maybe if I set my belt up for that tonight, I'm just wasting my time because that shit's going to get banned, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you guys think? Like, okay,
yeah, exactly. Just
not as a main topic, but what do you guys think is going to get banned?
Everything.
Everything?
I think anything.
No, it can't be everything. They're not going to ban the BARs and the hunting semi-autos, right?
I think they will. I actually think they will.
I hope they do. I don't think they will. What do you think, Kelly?
We're on the street. It's going to be Megs.
Take some Megs? That's your really BAR.
Cool. Yeah. That'll be the SKS too. I've been hoping they'd come for it. Come for it. I dare you.
SVT 40?
Mm-hmm. That'll definitely
FN 49, SKS. The stuff they missed with the PCC bands, the M19 and the Henry Homesteader and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. That stuff will be gone.
It's all speculation, but
we're speculating.
Pretty good.
What about some rimfire? You think they'll ban rimfire stuff that's semi-auto with a mag fed?
I do.
Ooh,
you think they're going to get our 1022s, Kelly?
Maybe. If they are, I'm going to have an opinion. I will express it. Fuckers.
What about like the TM22? Because that one kind of looks like an AR sometimes. You can dress it up like an AR sometimes.
Oh, we're going to send that one to the Ukraine.
1022 is also.
No, the 1022 has been around since the 60s, right?
They'll ban it.
I guess the AR has been around since the 60s too, hasn't
it? Let's see what happens.
Can't think about it that way.
The only thing, and I think anything that's got a detachable magazine and is center fire is done.
I don't know, you guys.
I think they're going to do it.
You think they're going to ban the BAR?
100%.
Like, I think Browning BAR, rifle.
I absolutely think that they are, especially the hubris of that party, especially now, especially looking at the polls for the last month now. Oh, we're going to win now, so fuck you all. I know that hubris runs real deep in that idiotic party. And all of them have all said, no, we're going to keep up. Doesn't matter that we're pro-business, but fuck the $8 billion firearms industry in this country. We're pro, small business and people, but fuck the $8 billion firearms. I'm sorry, I keep cursing. I'm just like, ugh. But that is the opinion of all of the liberals, all of them, to hell with us. And I do honestly think that they're feeling good right now. And I think I dare them to do it. Do it. Do it.
Kelly, we're going to run maple seeds with bolties and cooies and maybe some single shots.
Give us some more time. It's fine. I shot my first maple seed with a center fire bolt action. The guy
how'd it go for you, Tony?
It went way better than the rim fire because I got gems with the rim fire.
I don't think they'll go after rimfire. I think that they'll probably leave the rest of the rimfire unless it looks scary.
You know what?
No, I don't. Well, I don't share that, Dustin.
I think they're going to do it.
They're going to go with all mix. This is what I'm thinking. So that being said, it's 4 o'clock tomorrow when they're making the announcement. I did ask if
Eastern, Central Universal Time,
Ontario time.
Yeah, center of the world.
That's the center of the universe and the world, right?
It might be in the air, so. I won't hear the news.
Oh, you'll get it when you land.
Good, Tony. He's going to be in the air. He's not going to be able to see. Good.
I'll message him as soon as he lands. Like, I'll send. Don't worry. You'll get that message. So as soon as your phone blinks back on, be like, bad news, Tony. You don't have anything that's legal anymore.
I don't have any semi-auto detachable anymore.
Yeah, those are bad, too. No, whatever you got, Tony.
Whatever you got. All bad.
I did ask the question if they could officially do an OIC because currently right now, the government,
they can. Yeah, even though the government's not sitting, they still can. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys think they're going to do anything with the mags?
They said they were
going to introduce a mag ban of some kind. I don't know if it's February or if it was March. Do you guys remember?
I wrote it down.
It's supposed to be February, and yes, that's what's going to happen tomorrow.
The mag one, though. that I know the additional restrictions were coming.
I thought the additional restrictions on mags were like their target for the spring. I didn't think that was the February. I could be wrong. That'd be interesting, though. I dare
early you. March. Early. Well, yeah. Okay. Keep in mind, the government can lie. Early March is when they said they're going to do large cap magazines.
Yeah.
So February tomorrow is the 27th of February. Early March. Pretty close. Tomato. March. Tomato.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to announce it and then they're going to just release it in March. You're right. You're
and
right.
And then they're and it's going to be rolled tide going into the election.
Well, they're
going
to do it. Yeah. That's the whole point.
What do you think they're going to do on the mags, though? Let's speculate some more. What do you think they're going to do on the mags?
5 rounds for everything.
Yeah. Rimfire and centerfire?
Everything. Five rounds.
And chopped bodies or
pins? It is going to be permanent, unremovable modification. They are taking no shit. They're absolutely going to do that. Chop your fucking lever guns. Screw you with all your pump action shotguns. Everything needs to be the way we tell you because it's for public safety, damn it.
How you doing, Dustin?
So these,
definitely not.
They're going to need you to chop the tube on it, right?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do it. I dare you. I dare you. One good month of polls after 2 years, do it. You want to bet that there aren't 2.5 million people that'll be pissed if you do that? Grandpa Joe is absolutely going to be unhappy. I promise that this will be the thing that is not going to help the way they think it is. And the hubris and the sheer, I'm sorry, I know this is what we did in guns, but the hubris and the sheer freaking audacity to do it after they finally come out and said, yes, we accept that 90% of the guns that we are able to trace are traced back to the United States. This is where our gun problem is coming from. Tell Trump that our gun problem is your problem. The thing that we've been yelling at them for a decade, but it doesn't matter. They're going to talk out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah, our gun problem is the states, but screw all the Canadians.
Yep.
So I think, Tony, if you don't mind, I'll just bore your bolt action for a little bit longer, and I'll use an M3 gun match because I think that's what
I'm gonna have to good on Dustin though for use. I did a count. Hubris was used 5 times. That was very good. So
I'm sorry, it's
it's his angry word.
It's better than the other angry word that I hope to way too often. So yeah.
Or maybe I'll get my bow ready for 3 gun. Yeah, maybe I'll do.
Yeah, that. I gotta learn how to.
Where's your muzzle loader at?
I'm working on my.
Cardia, like it's 1776.
My crossbow. They're Carcano. Right now.
The Carcano will still be fine, and I've got lots of rounds for it. I could totally run a match.
No, that's a magazine of 6 rounds. That's dangerous. Can't happen.
Yeah,
you chop the clip to 5 rounds? You can't do that.
If they do it, I'll have 2 guns that I can still shoot. I think. Three. No, I've got a couple of bolt guns. Yeah. I could still shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Let's moving on. Anyways, I'm done with my thing. Kelly, how about you?
I haven't gone to the range. I'm hoping to this weekend. I'm supposed to on Sunday, potentially. I arranged a play date with Kelly Kincaid, so we're going to go and do that on Sunday. The other thing that I wanted to make an announcement about is she shoots, so save the date. So March the 8th. Let me just double check. March the 8th. No, totally lied to you. March 11th. March 8th is on my brain because I am going to a Women's Day event at Silverdale. So March 11th, we have our podcast that's going to be happening. Julie Globe is going to be on. So, which is awesome. She's going to come on to do an International Women's Day podcast with us. And then the month after that, we're going to have somebody that, Adriel, you're familiar with. The Linda's going to come on and talk about Sherwood Park, which is awesome. So I just want to let everybody know about those two things. A couple of other things that I wanted to talk about. Toronto Sportsman Show. I'm going to be there on the Saturday and Sunday. Come out and see me, get your calendar signed, and I'm going to that, and I was supposed to help out I got asked to help out at a RSO course, teaching some people how to be RSOs, and I can't because I'm going to be at Toronto Sportsman Show. That's it for me. What about you, not in Kowtow, Tony?
I did do some shooting. So I mentioned last week we have a steel challenge on, that was Saturday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I did horribly. I did worse on every single stage compared to my historical PB. I think I only shot that division once, so basically did worse in everything.
Did you have an out of battery miss?
I did not. Which is
perfect
good.
Then. It was good.
Well, last time I didn't blow myself up either, so I think I was okay. at the stage I flopped on the first time, I think I did a total time of 60 seconds. We didn't shoot that one, so I need to go back and shoot it again. But I did see quite a few fun guns that day. We have, again, as the shooting edge closed and we're pulling in more members, new members, and we're trying to up our, not quite social media, but communication game. So
yeah.
More shooters who are just kind of plinkers are getting introduced to sports like this, either as spectators or come out for the first time, which is awesome. Shout out to David, who brought a Trojan. So there'll be STI. STI Trojan in 40.
Really?
Was 10 round, 10 millimeter magazine. That's super cool. He has some issues though. The top round wouldn't feed just because it was 10 millimeter mags. And I think there's going to be nosedive issues because they don't have the spacers in the back. Shout out to Justin, who brought a SBI ultralight. That's very nice. It's like a little PDW. And I bet Dustin will really love it. And the way he holds onto it is very like MP5-ish, like kind of in the mag.
Yep.
That's super fun. I've seen Henry Homesteader on the line as well. Seems to run pretty good. And also because there was the IPSC style shotgun match the second day, I also saw a Benelli speed pump. Someone brought it out to test out. Not on steel challenge, but as a follow-up activity. So that's all pretty fun. Obviously, I'm not in standard room. I'm in usually not in Cowtown for a reason. To complete my mission to deliver Slamfire patches to British Columbia. So if you see Dustin in person, you got to keep him accountable for them patches. Yeah, that's about all I did in guns. Oh, one more thing to mention. I was unable to, at least so far, to convert one of my friends who did his PAL without me knowing. I was unable to convert him to get an RPAL, but anyway, he got convinced to get his PAL despite he did his university in Texas. A different issue, but yeah, somehow one of his other friends convinced him about hunting, so now he is at least getting a PAL, but
just keep working on it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe. We'll see. He's in BC, so it's not like I can show him all the stuff.
Oh, we can all go out. Bring him out when you're back. And you're coming out in April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I'll see. We'll see.
As long as all my handguns are still legal in April, we can go shoot.
Well, you have a...
I do actually have the break the law permit for that, so we could probably still go shoot all those handguns.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I just handed it off to you.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I was going to say at that point we're breaking out the full capacity magazines. If they do actually want to play that game, let's play. I did almost nothing with guns this week. You guys are making me feel really bad. So I did play with one of my Glocks because, I don't know, I feel like I've been ignoring it. I've been doing a lot of like dry fire training with my 320 because that's kind of the gun that I've fallen in love with. But I have a lot of Glocks and I decided, I haven't really done too much with this in a while. So did some dry fire training, a little bit of running around the house when there was nobody around. And definitely going to the range this weekend with one of my roommates. It's kind of just an excuse to go to the range.
How you don't dry fire with your Roni kit?
Oh, I do all the time. I just haven't this week. I've been busy. It's been a strangely busy week. So I haven't, I took it out of the safe the other day cause I had a buddy over that wanted to see it, but that also, I guess counts. Did that too. We played with it for like 30 seconds and he's like, oh, I need one of these for my SIG. And I'm like, yes, you do get one. I think they're still available for that platform too. I did see Tony for 2 minutes. He did not come all the way up the stairs of the front stairs of the house. He didn't come inside, didn't even come all the way up the stairs, regardless of the fact that we were not on like a schedule that we couldn't have, you know, come in and had a couple of pleasantries. But I will see him again in April. So yeah, that's all I did with guns this week, apart from, you know, do the standard political ranty stuff that I will be doing a lot of in the near future.
Maybe we'll get a chance to do that tomorrow.
We could do a, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, we want to do another live stream. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I should say Ian's available. We should bring him in on that.
Yes,
I'm gonna be like total
fire, like, get just sloppy dead. Drunk and yeah, yes. And yak on stream.
All right, so let's just reach out to Ian right now.
That's great.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Neat. Okay.
Excellent.
Should we put a provisional live stream up? And just like, just in case.
Yes.
Case.
That's a good idea. Right. Break glass in case of liberal idiot. Yeah,
<okay. laughs> Slot reserved to rant and rave and drink.
It's probably a good idea.
It's just a red button that says go live in case of more gun bans.
Yeah.
We're going to hit it. Anyways, let's keep going.
Moving on.
Upcoming events. So we're doing the Slam Fire Canadian Retailer Series. We're trying to get Canadian shops on. If you know a Canadian shop that should get on, talk to them and say, hey, you should go on Canada's number one pro-gun podcast, Slam Fire Radio.
Do we want to announce who's on next week? Part.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to announce who's on next week?
Yeah, why don't you announce who's on next week? Because I forget.
Okay. So we're going to have J.R. Cox on next week. He's going to be coming to talk to us about, all of a sudden my brain is fried.
This thing right there.
Yeah. So he's going to come on. He's in Germany right now. So,
Maple Seeds. Yeah. They're coming. Kelly, Sterling Arms. Are you done those?
Yeah. The calendar signing. Okay. No. So just go back. So Sterling Arms and Target Sports is what JR is coming to talk about. Okay. Yes. Calendar signings are officially done, except for come out to the Toronto Sportsman Show, because we'll have calendars there and we're going to have gunny girls there that are going to sign there. So when I said yes, but no. So it's no. We're not done.
Neat. Okay. National. I assume that's National Range Day. That the reason that I see a bullet says National.
I have no idea what's there.
I'm ignoring it.
Could also be nationals. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's going to be interesting. National Range Day with no guns. How do we do that?
No, all the
pistols are still there.
Muzzle loaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, muzzle loaders.
Cannons.
Double barrels. Yeah. You got the over-unders.
Yeah. Uh-huh. True.
I'll have those. Mm-hmm. It'll be, you know, bolt guns. Cannons.
No velocity. Yeah. So, okay. Yep.
Matchlocks.
There you go.
We just made Canadian farm sports a team sport. Like, you've got to have a like four people crew on a cannon, you know, speed loading.
No, you get like 10 people and you to shoot 1 3-gun stage, and nine of them are constantly reloading guns. Just
no, you gotta make it a team stage.
Muzzle loader, sharp
like
a fire brigade of just people.
Yeah, like you gotta you engage a target, go reload in the back of the line, and then you go together.
Yeah, that's an idea too. I've got Pal and RPAL coming up March 22nd and 23rd at Sherwood Park. It's already getting pretty full. April 5th and 6th in Devon. Had to move that one because we're going to do a private one. And I'm going to book some more like later on. Just waiting for some paperwork. The Chaz 3-gun match is on March 8th. There's still spots available for that one, which is nice. So it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be small. We're going to have like a few days, I think. And we're going to shoot something. We're going to shoot something, Kelly. Carcanos might be coming out. Or my Enfield, my 303 Lee Enfield with five round mags.
Use your AR mag pouches. Jesus.
You know what Canadians are? Canadians are very adaptable. Yep. I mean that.
Yeah.
You're going to ban something? I'm going to move to the next thing. Going to ban that? Going to move to the next thing.
It's only a matter of time.
Slingshots. Okay. Sorry.
DCFR's 10th annual AGM is going to be in Niagara Falls on June 28th. Details to follow.
Correct.
June 28th. Okay. News.
I did put this one news article in, and I followed the rabbit trail for the other. So the Liberal Party of Canada is apparently now in spitting distance of a potential majority if the election were called today, according to some
posters. I heard neck and neck.
All right. Depending on the poll that you believe in, they're all of the sudden in majority territory.
What the fuck is that?
I know. So look, you weren't here for my earlier rant on this, but look, there is no way that 2 solid years of polling disappears overnight because you put a faceless, you know, thing that everybody in the left should really hate anyways in front of you and said, hey, look, new guy in the Liberal Party. Good.
Vote. Do you think he's going to make it any better for the fact that people don't have homes? Do you think he's going to make it any better for the fact that people are losing their jobs?
He's more trustworthy than Trudeau is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
trustworthy than Trudeau on those things.
And see, you know, and then on top of it, Pierre is just Trump. So the argument, right? So
that's the risk right now.
But the reality is I truly don't believe that this will actually facilitate itself, but we are gonna see an election. Buckle up. It's coming. Like they're gonna drop the writ the second this guy is anointed new prime minister. I'll be shocked if he gets a day.
They want to catch him on the honeymoon period.
100%. Before anybody knows. And also the other thing that they really don't want, they don't want the conservatives spending any more money. I was at the pub yesterday and I saw conservative anti-carny ads and I was like,
I saw some today too.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, no, they really don't need any more of that. And especially now that they've caught him in a couple of lies, like they've got him lying a couple of times, you know that they are going to plaster that every single place they can. I hope money machine go burr. I hope that they are spending millions of dollars while they still can.
Do you see some of the ads that are coming out for the NDP?
The NDP can afford ads right now?
I know, right? and they have Jasmeet coming out as a box.
Okay.
Anyway,
great topic. So, let's talk about it more potentially tomorrow.
we can talk about it more tomorrow.
I get to vote tomorrow too.
Yeah, I get to vote in the Liberal election. I just got approved. I get to vote for our next prime minister, which is exciting because I don't think any of y'all do. Or did any of you register for that? No.
Are we gonna coordinate our votes or no?
I mean, it's not gonna matter. I think look, tinfoil hat on. From the beginning, it is very clear that they had a decision made on who will be our next prime minister, and everything has been facilitated for that to happen, including knocking out anybody who could potentially cause the upset of that, right? They literally just kicked, and I promise you, like in a couple of months, what's her face that was like almost neck and neck with Carney, they're gonna, oh yeah, no, this was actually total BS and we definitely shouldn't have kicked you out. You can run next time though, it's okay. But anyway,
by the way, does he have a home riding?
No, he won't have a seat. He won't have a seat. It won't matter because the writ's going to get dropped the day after. It won't matter. If not that day. But in other news, the UK be the UK and more bans, even though they've already banned most of their guns. They had some interesting blank guns, like blank firing guns. This is a thing in Europe a lot, where like blank guns are strangely legal and even used in like celebratory practices. Again, my German friends during like Christmas and other holidays, they get to go out and like fire off blanks in the air. It's interesting.
Designed visually to be like significantly different?
No. So this is the thing. A whole bunch of them apparently got banned in the UK very recently. You could have really close replicas that were like blank firing, didn't have like through barrels. They like would eject the like exhaust through the top and everything. Wow. But I guess criminals be using those for, you know, the same reason. Yeah, for robbing and stuff. So
intimidation and
there's a whole bunch that I guess the Brits decided could be easily converted to being real firearms using, you know, means that we will not tell you about, but it's really easy. It can be done with, you know, simple tools. Anybody can do it, so you can't have these anymore. I'm not telling. I'm like, this is their words. I'm not telling you. I'm saying This is the government saying, it's really easy to do this. We won't tell you how, but it's really easy. So you can't have these. And yeah, a whole bunch of people it left holding the bag on not a buyback. And apparently it's not going well, according to the video that I saw, where it's, you know, shocker, people aren't handing in things when government gets stupid. I don't know who posted that, but I watched the video.
Remember the very famous English literature, Expedient Homemade Firearm by P.A. Looney. So, for your thoughts, British produced.
Oh, Tony, you're so based. Okay, keeping on with the moving here. The terrifying rise of smart bullets. Who's got this one?
I didn't put that.
Must Jarpa's be Kyle. Exacto. Okay, Kyle can cover it next week. I'm just going to leave it in there. High velocity slugs made. So getting on to new gun stuff. Cabela's has some Score high velocity slugs. I got some of these.
Did you?
They are stinking.
Spicy.
Spicy. Yeah. 1 ounce slugs, but they're trucking. They're going 1550 or... Wow. Ounce and an eighth at 1550.
Fast.
Ooh.
Whoa. more power for not more price.
Well, apparently. If you think about it, like ounce and an eighth and 1200 FPS is like standard for like a heavy target load. That's ounce and an eighth at 1550. Yeah, I got some. I have just the 1 ounce stuff. I haven't shot a deer with it yet. I shot a coyote with it. It worked.
Nice.
Yeah. What range?
What's that?
What range?
50 yards.
It worked.
It worked. It was a success. Yeah.
I just don't think I can aim a shotgun that good.
What's that?
I just don't think I can aim a shotgun that good.
Had a red dot on it.
Yeah.
No, you could shoot a coyote at 50. You could shoot a coyote at 50 even with just a bead. You could.
I know you can. Doesn't mean I can.
Oh, well, you should shoot it more. Shoot some paper. You'll see. It's entirely possible. Anyways, Cabela's has that stuff. Take a look. It's $23 per box of 25. It's a 25 box of slugs.
Oh, I thought this was a 5 box. I was like, oh, it's like $5
no,
around.
No, it's $2.
Oh.
Well, Scores got that. Those big boxes. Yep.
Okay.
I got a flat of it.
You got a flat? Okay.
250 slugs of. High velocity.
You don't want to show up to work, so you destroyed your right shoulder for no apparent reason.
I didn't actually keep the whole. I got a flat of that and a flat of the buckshot, and I split it with a buddy of mine. Yeah, so you got half of either one. So
nice.
We'll have lots cheap, of it. Buy it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do, right?
Because it may not buy in the future.
Buy it cheap, stack it deep. We got a NeoTech Voodoo 5-25 on Cabela's FFP for $2,500. If you're gonna buy that, make sure you go through our link. PSA, Tony, I know this is you putting this in here.
Yeah, so last week we talked about the SHOT Show vote, and it was one day per, and then Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, right? So the first two places wasn't revealed, and I thought the second place was predictable. It was the 50.
Yeah, it was.
It was the 70-50, so someone's going to get one. To my surprise, I'm happy about the result, but the 2011 was somehow the first place choice. They did mention it's not going to be that cheap. So to me, that means if it's going to match or slightly be above the price of a Springfield Prodigy, I would consider it. I don't know why, just because I guess I shoot at a 2011 now, and it'll be a pretty empty division. And I'll be shooting the bottom 2011? Barrel 2011. And that's how I roll. I don't know.
Okay. So I have a question. What the hell are we talking about? PSA shot poll one in first and second place.
They had like a poll of what they're going to make. It's a way of making people excited about like, hey, what should we make?
Yeah. What guns do you like?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're semi-auto.
Was it Palmetto?
Yeah, Palmetto State
Armory. Oh, okay. Now I have a better understanding. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Listeners, so thank you.
Oh, Palmetto State, not PSA, public service announcement. I'm just catching up.
No,
right. Or for those of us who are listeners, for our listeners who have no idea what Tony's talking about, this is what we're talking about.
PSA stands for Palmetto State. Yep, Armory.
I know.
I would like
PSA. Yeah, got it.
I would like this for Christmas, please.
50?
Yeah, I want every 50. Yeah, I would love to have a collection of them.
It's a semi-auto, though. It will be hard.
Well, no, not a semi-auto.
Why would I want that?
This 50 BMG, I got to shoot it out of something, Tony. I might as well buy this. Semi-auto will help me get rid of it.
No, just put it in your 12-gauge.
Put it in my 12-gauge.
No, it's great that you have all that 50 because you can sell it to me when I get this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad to go to
the Calgary gun store and just buy you a flat of 50 and send it over.
Real quick on the news stuff. Sad day because what's his name? Gun YouTuber who's just selling like a third
Demolition
of his gun
ranch. He's selling like ranch.
Yeah, like 150 guns. I was sad. There was some good ones in there. It's like, don't sell the Serbu. I want the Serbu.
I'm sure he's got more than enough.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we move on to the main topic? Welcome to the show, Sean from S&J Hardware.
I'm not even hosting tonight. Well, it's a continuing series on the Canadian firearms retailers. So that was the words I was looking for, to be fair. Yeah. But yeah, welcome, Sean from S&J Hardware. Really happy to have you.
Yeah, good to be here.
So... you guys have some really cool stuff, and the thing that I wanted to talk to you the most about, because in my opinion, S&J Hardware has just some of the coolest Canadian shotguns, like, just available on the market. Doesn't matter if you're looking for a super bougie 1301, which, by the way, I'm looking for a super bougie 1301, and you guys have the best.
I just sold one today.
Yeah, I know. I don't follow your social media on the daily. Every time you guys post something new, my wallet cries a little bit. But you guys also have something that I think the world needs to talk about, and this is the MCS. So can you tell us about the MCS, Sean?
So, this is the S and S&J of Simon. Simon Beeson. You may find him around other places, Bad Boy Beeson on Gun Nuts, that sort of thing. So he has been looking to recreate this product since Remington started. And I believe I'm probably going to get this wrong, but in the 80s somewhere, it was introduced to military service, where an 870 was shortened on the mag tube and the overall length of the barrel. Well, where the barrel lug would be on the barrel was repositioned onto the shortened tube. So you're still getting three rounds in there. Of 2 3/4, at least that's the way they made it back then. And then you went to an 10 inch barrel, and the whole overall size of this thing was this, maybe, right? And then our first piece out, the flagship, if you will, is the MCS pistol grip. These are original Pack Myers that we did have made. We had this recreated from an original, so it's still compatible with all the original products. And then we made the plate, the base plate that would go onto the gun for this to interact with. So I'm not sure if you can make that out here with things, but there is a dovetail. Let me get it behind me. You get a bit of an edge. So you can see the dovetail there. That just literally goes straight down onto the frame, and you press that button in and lock it in place. It's rock solid, doesn't move, and creates such a tiny, tiny little thing. It's fantastic. Now, what it was meant for was door breaching. And it came in a bag, which we are in the midst of recreating ourselves, that housed and I'm going to get this wrong, a 10, a 14, and an 18.5-inch barrel. This particular pistol grip, the M4 styled grip attachment, AR-15 back end, if you will, and then we have gone and adapted the whole platform. It had a speed feed stock that was also made for this. Right. Really hard to come by, but we've managed to find a bunch of originals and adapted them to this platform. So then we've adapted the whole platform to modernize it into the Magpul SGA stock system. So it's now compatible with that. If you buy that particular product from us, it's only available from us. It is available in the dealer networks, but the dealer networks really haven't picked up on it yet. But then again, the last couple of years have been pretty tough on most retailers here in Canada. And then, of course, we've also adapted the, Mesa Tactical Urbino that actually now is compatible with this whole setup. The original four end, which I don't have a sample here of, everybody looks for that.
I think I might have an image of it here. I'm just trying to see if I can. This is more or less what you guys are trying to replicate, right?
Yeah. Overall, that's the look, although not the actual product.
This is. I was trying to find the actual. I know the one. I have pictures of it. I loved that, like that thing when I was a kid, really getting into guns. But this is the idea.
Let me see here. I think I may have a picture. I can send it to you. And you
post that would be great. Yeah. I'll stop sharing this.
All right.
Yeah. I can picture the one I was looking for, and I can't find it in a Google search anymore. I know the one.
I'm sending photos to a buddy of mine who's really into 870s right now. All right. He's really into short 870s.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. Like, give me one second and let me get this all.
I'm looking through my photos to see if I have. So Sean, hi Sean.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good to see you again. So to see if I thought I took pictures of everything that was on the wall, but it looks like it didn't. So.
Oh, you take that big picture on the wall? Actually, I should have that picture too. I should send that one. Let me see here. Where did that go?
Exciting stuff that you guys are doing. Now that we're all looking at our phones.
I'm actively trying to get these I'm just trying to get them onto my computer. So stand by, everybody. Oh, I was downloading everything. Okay, great. All right. Just gotta open up that and see if I can. I'll just download all of these.
So, while we're doing that, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm late to the party. I just
went home. How dare you? Were you at the gym again?
Kind of. I had some stuff going on with family too. So, anyways, it's super exciting to see Sean on the show. I was recently at S&J Hardware. We had a Gunny Girl calendar signing with Amanda. Amanda.
You got it.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm going, oh my God. Anyways, she's Miss February as well. So it was very appropriate, let's say. So I'm buying time for you, by the way, to find this stuff.
I got it. It's right here. Hang on. We got it.
There you go.
That's a picture of an original.
Yes.
This would have been the issued kit. There's a second picture I sent you, but I don't know if you've got that.
I don't know if I got it yet, but here we'll start with this. Yep. Let me you talk amongst yourselves about this. Oh, here's the wall. Perfect. This is what I was looking for.
Yeah. Okay, great. So it shows all the different interchangeable pieces, whether it's the barrels, the grips as well. There's an AR style grip as well. Stock.
Come on. Why are we not?
One later.
Okay, hang on. I gotta. It's making me reopen it. Just give me a second.
Technical.
Stupid. It's because I added the file to the same thing. I promise. There we go. Gotcha. There we are.
There we go. So that's the wall.
That's the wall. Yeah.
Okay, so if we maybe start at the top left, okay?
Right.
Those slings are actually replicas of the original. Now those are done in a different tan or tan greenish thing. The originals are all black. And then to the right of it at the top, that's the Urbino stock. Then you've got the SGA, everybody knows is pretty iconic. And then you've got that M4 stock, right? What you can't see there below that is the bird's head grip or the Raptor grip that normally comes on these 14-inch guns. Mm-hmm. We adapted that. So if you were to buy a 14-inch Remington, right, Attack 14, for instance, and then you added the MCS system to it, you could just put that on and it still maintains an overall length of 27 and a half inches, I think it is.
Beautiful.
Correctly. So you stay nice and legal. So right below that is one of the original speed feed stocks without having the, I don't think that one's got it yet, but doesn't have the attachment point for the dovetail, right? The actual MCS part piece. To the right of that, directly to the right of that speed feed stock is the MCS Picatinny rail attachments and clamp, if you will. Let's see here. Directly above that would be the original MCS holster. So that would tuck in. So the idea of this was, let's all imagine we're all right-handed shooters. So pistols on the one side, rifles up here. You come up to a door and you're the breacher. Well, you're carrying this thing, so that slings over your shoulder and under your arm, your left arm, and the holster's on this side. So all you're going to do is you're going to action that out of that holster, come up, turn it, and then go to the breaching points, right? And then easily put it right back to where it was when it's all done. So that was the whole concept of it. We've actually got another holster that's actually quite high quality, but I think it's either somebody's go at it or not, but we're going to try and work with it. I mean, there's only so many ways to make a G sandwich, right? It's, you can only secure this thing so many ways with a holster. That original one though, basically encompasses the whole, action from basically the safety all the way forward to the back of the foregrip. Then of course the barrels, different selections thereof. The gun itself there, that is a 10-inch barrel. MCS setup. The gun itself started life as an MCS directly. They're still out there, but they're extremely expensive. So we've picked up a bunch to try and replicate everything. We have a steel rail on top, BIC rail. Okay. Nice. Note for everybody out there that those, it'll come to me where the screws go in, the spread on the screws. Somebody help quick. Your positioning of where your screws would screw into the receiver is totally different than a Remington pattern.
Oh.
Oh, the top screws where it's drilled and capped for the a scope mount or whatever?
Yeah, the receiver screws. Rail screws, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I get for working all day and trying to stay up past my bedtime. So that's made so that you can take that pistol grip off and turn that into a master key.
Right.
Right. So go ahead. Sorry.
I was excited to talk about the master key. That's okay. I keep going.
So all aspects of the MCS system are being worked on. You have extensions there on the right. Those are for the different barrel lengths to accommodate more shells if needed. And then on the bottom is kind of a weird somebody's take on an M-lock rail. I don't think that's one of the Kadex ones, but Kadex does still make a short and four-ended rail setup for the MCS platform. So you still can buy a new setup. So this thing has been years in the making. And with the first release, like I said, with just that pistol grip, right, we've come to a point where we have that full wall as it is and more coming.
So. How is that thing shooting it with the pistol grip?
Believe it or not, I've got a video of Amanda shooting it, and 7.5, she was able to hold it quite comfortably.
Yeah. Is it, I mean, at that point, you're kind of hip firing that thing, right? Like,
yeah, it's a hip fire with kind of a C clamp, if you will, on the front. Yeah. That way it's going to control your up and down quite well. And then as long as you've peened it into your hip, well, it's not going anywhere. Do I want to try that with 1 ounce slugs? No. But, you know, double-odd buck is what was used.
So anybody that knows me knows that I have a huge affinity for short barrel shotguns. I love them quite a bit. I have a few of them. And so with a 10-inch barrel, any of these, like, full-length stocks, this gun should fit in within that 27 inch parameter, right?
So the way that particular 870 is set up right there, yep, that is under that parameter.
Ah, darn.
Right? And unfortunately, with a 10-inch barrel on there, you're going to run into that even with the Raptor grip. Now, you won't with one of the other solid-state grips there, right?
Right, yeah. So that was my question. So there's a world, as long as it's got an actual stock on it, it's probably going to maintain that overall weapons length of 26 and a half inches, I think.
26, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. BC guy, do a lot of hiking. My favorite thing to bring out into the bush is a short barrel shotgun. That little predator defense tool. And this sort of thing, for anybody that spends a lot of time bushwhacking, a light, super cool short barrel shotgun is kind of the thing to have.
I agree.
Yep.
The other thing to this is that all of our muzzles will come equipped with the muzzle devices on them, like a ported breaching choke, right? So we've choked, so that barrel on the top right is actually choked. So you could throw in whatever you wanted into it, right? Other barrels for the MCS system took an external choke, an external standoff device. And what it was meant to do, it had this really deep V, right? And then it had, you know, the usual DNA collectors on the other side, right? That deep V was meant to be putting right against a rebar and blowing the rebar in half.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Right? Just in case you needed to take a rib out on a bear or something, you know.
Well, so, I mean, really what you guys are selling here is an excellent predator defense tool that can also open up any door. Like, yeah. I appreciate a tool that has multiple uses, and this fits that criteria quite nice. All right, so you had mentioned we can turn this into a potential master key situation as well, which
you worked on. Yeah,
I can't tell you how much I would love to build a master key onto my next dream AR build just for the funds of it. I had a question about that. Just, and again, I realize that this is not legal advice. I just, because the gun can still be technically fired in that capacity. Does that not cause some legal question?
Or I guess, well, it would be two different receivers. So say you attached it to an AR.
Yeah.
In Canada, you'd have to trigger lock both of those to transport. Well, not technically to transport, but to store, right?
To store, yeah.
I would highly recommend doing the transport thing, but, you know, that's up to the individual out there.
Right.
But yeah, you'd have to, I mean, they'd have to be treated as two separate receivers.
Right.
For the process, I would think. I don't foresee it being an issue with having two guns there unless you're trying to hunt with the AR, if that ever becomes available here in Canada. It was at one point. We'll get there. But yeah, I mean, you'd have a second gun there. Is it really something that you're going to have on your gun deer hunting? Probably not.
No. But,
you know, there are some of us that like to tick off a conservation officer or two.
Yeah. I don't need this, but I can have it sort of situation.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I'm not there to shit disturb, but it is what it is, you know?
Oh no, 100%. I mean, for me, pure novelty entertainment value. And I love, you know, kind of neat, weird stuff. So the prospect of being able to turn one of these into a master key, I just like the whole concept of you guys, because like the whole idea is you guys are trying to recreate something, then offer it in a variety of different configurations. And then my understanding is you're aiming for like a pretty reasonable price point. You said like a lot of this stuff is, you know.
Yeah, you're looking at about the 300 mark, I think, on, I'll even bring it up for us. Let's see here. Apparently, it's better done on this side.
Maybe while you're looking that up, I assume you guys are exporting to the U.S. then as well.
We most certainly are. So therein lies the next piece to all of this, which is we are now have the capacity of a location in the States of Michigan that does our shipping for us. So cool. Where we have a warehousing situation, if you will.
Right. Well, it's strangely, I've got a question about that because, like, you know, you guys are making, like, this is classified as short barrel shotgun. No, is that not?
On this side, it would be, yes. But it's still an NFA item that they can still end up with, right?
Right, right. It's just there's extra loopholes. Like,
yep. Well, I just heard a rumor that the NFA just lost its hold on suppressors. So,
I too heard that magical, wonderful thing. It would be great to see that in Canada.
Well, it would. I mean, what a concept, eh? Personal protective equipment used on a firearm that could potentially hurt my ears, but, you know, what do I know?
One day, hopefully you guys will be selling us suppressors for shotguns one day too. Right. That's my hope.
22 years. So the receiver nut, you're looking at a whole $17, and the receiver base, which is what you need to start, is $84.99, and then you pick whatever particular stock system that you want. You're looking at the pistol grip, this guy here, right? You're looking at $300. The Mesa Urbino is $350. Shockwave grip is $250. Speed feed stock is $350. The rail itself is made out of, I believe it's still 4140 steel, is $120. And then the SGA stock is $350. So basically very consistent numbers. We've worked very hard at trying to get that in there so that, you know, we're not taking this out of the realm of the average Joe.
Right. So in theory, you know, I'm going to be able to build some kind of like choose my own adventure shotgun for in and around $1,000.
Oh, yeah, depending on the shotgun you get. Now, here's the other thing. We're going to be offering a shotgun with barrel and everything else in it. In that configuration. So it's coming.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you guys have like a timeline on that? Are you still working on that?
We're supposed to be seeing barrels. They should ship late next week, but again, we've been running into a little bit of slow time with the company we're dealing with in having them made.
Who's doing your barrels? Do you want to talk about it?
I'd like to. It's being made on the West Coast.
Okay.
Copy.
So they're great people, but they've recently lost somebody in their staffing, and now ownership is basically taken back over and is trying to get things back in track. So they're doing their best, right?
No, that's fair. And then are you in your still, like, when you and I talked the other week, you know, we talked about some of the challenges that firearms retailers in Canada have with just getting gun stock, like stock of firearms. And is that like a bottleneck for you with, you know, getting shotgun receivers too?
It is to a certain extent. Absolutely. One of the biggest challenges in Canada, of course, is the way we insert basically a third party in between us and the manufacturer, right? And now, as much as I know they have their place, I'm disappointed that none of them are stocking dealers, as much as I'd love to say that they are. If you go to, say, one gun manufacturer that I know for a fact does this, you buy 5 rifles, you get one free. Mm-hmm. That's not always offered to us as a retailer. It is come the fall when the big shows happen. We'll see stuff like that. We'll see reduced prices and stuff. But now you're basing the first 5 guns on 6 guns. You know, you're dividing whatever the money was for 5 guns across 6 guns.
Right.
So our bottleneck seems to be how much in capacity that our vendors will bring in at any given time. So in the case of, say, the 1895 Marlin, you can't get control of it. You could order 100 of them. You won't see one. The problem is that when all of those orders come in, so for argument's sake, 100,000 guns were ordered, 10,000 guns come in, it's 10%. You would think that everybody that ordered a gun or so many guns would get, you know, if I ordered 10, I would get one.
Right.
Right. Doesn't happen that way. It ends up going out to sale to Bass Pro and Cabela's and, you know, a couple others out there. But the bigger people get satisfied first, Canadian Tire, of course, right?
Yeah.
they get the satisfaction of getting all of these firearms allotted to them to fulfill their orders, and then we get nothing. And that happens on the regular. Now, I don't knock, you know, people not having the money to bring in that type of volume, right? And the fact that is some of these guns are that they are extremely popular in the U.S. And why would a retail or sorry, a manufacturer send anything outside the lower 48? You know, we've got less people in all of Canada than there is in California, and we have border issues.
Yeah.
Right.
And legal issues.
And then my understanding is like our entire, you know, gun owning community is size wise something similar to like the state of Maryland. I've been told like
Well, if you look at Canada as a whole, there's 40, 41 million people in Canada, but yep. there's only what 2.5 million PAL holders.
Yeah.
That's my audience.
Yeah. And right. that's the whole audience. You're not necessarily playing to all of them either, right? There's a whole bunch of people exactly. for whom even this thing, you know, is going to be a little bit spicy, right? Maybe you know, I'm not of interest. Although, like, I think, you know, shotguns are probably, like, in my opinion, shotguns are probably the safest thing long term. Like, that's why I'm interested in semi-auto shotguns. They're the ones that seem to keep, you know, missing out on the bans. They're the ones that, like, even stateside are kind of legal everywhere. I think, like, you guys are positioned well there. But, like, that's a real challenge for anybody in that industry. Like, for you guys, just to even offer this thing, if you can't literally get the gun to sell me, right?
Oh yeah, well that's a trick. In the States, it's basically going to end up being won't be sold as an NFA item. It'll be sold as the individual parts.
Parts, yes.
It would have to be. I mean, you could sell it as, but I mean, the likelihood that you're going to get a lot of people in there looking for that single purchase of everything all at once, you know, cry once or buy once, cry once is the motto, right?
Yes. So,
if you've got somebody out there that is willing to drop, you know, $2,000 on all of the components or $3,000 on all of the components by the time we're done, you know, then, you know, we'll go through the paperwork, right? That's right. Easy, right? What color would you like it in? And would you like mints in the box? Right?
Yes.
You know, so you never make it hard for somebody to give you their money.
Of course.
You give them the product they want, when they want it, and how they want it. That's what we try to do as much as we possibly can.
Sure. But I'm also sure like it wouldn't hurt your guys' feelings to be able to have, you know, 10 or 15 of those things on the wall ready to go if somebody wanted to buy them.
Oh, absolutely not. It, you know, hurt my feelings all you want. I'll sell anything to anybody as long as it's legal.
Of course. Yeah, no, of course. But, you know, that, like I said, it keeps coming down to like the same problem. I hear it from every small retailer. It's exactly the same story. It's not even you might get one of the guns you ordered. You might get none of the guns that you ordered.
Well, and it's a common thing amongst everybody. I mean, don't take my word for it. Have, you know, whenever you're at these events and stuff, ask around, ask them those questions.
Yep.
I mean, clearly we've seen some very major players lose their stake in the market here.
Yep.
Especially out in the West, right? You know, and I hope that things go well, but I'm not 100% on what I'm about to say, but we've heard through the grapevine there may be a semi-automatic ban here happening this week.
Yeah. I don't know how many they've got left that they can ban. Hopefully
there's
they
a
don't.
Couple. There's a couple. Yeah. I've heard something similar, Sean.
Yeah. So whether that happens or not, who knows? But
supposed to be 4:30 tomorrow. There'll be an announcement.
Yeah.
I got to get some videos our published. Let's, you know what?
Yeah.
This is about Sean.
Let's not make about this. We can talk about that.
You guys are making the short pumps with the vertical grip and all that kind of stuff. Like, I assume you guys are selling piles of those things. Or is this like a soft launch where, that one? Yeah. Is this like a soft launch where you guys are just like, okay, we're just leasing this. We're just going to keep it quiet for a little bit or how's it going?
The biggest point to this mm-hmm. is actually made incorrectly. This should have been that flat edge should have been to the top, but
yeah.
You know, it was basically a concept that came together and worked out right. So we Cerakoted it, put it together just to double check all of the processes as we went. So mm-hmm. normally a Serbu would be, you would chop off. So let's imagine your action bars are here. And then you've got that tube that's attached to the action bars, right? That's where your forend would slip over. What Serbu did was they would cut it off so that you were basically had, you know, about that much of a nub of tube left attached to your action bars. And then they would weld just this piece on, right? And then that was the whole gun. That was, you know, you had to sacrifice your whole forend. Well, what we said was, why do we have to do that? Why can't I make a drop-in fit, replace the forend, slip that in place, and then all of a sudden I've got a forend, vertical forend, that anybody can use at any time. And when they're done with this and they don't want to feel tactical and they want to go back hunting, they take this off, right? Slip it off the forend, put on their hunting stock, back out they go. You know, so now you're getting better wear, you're getting better, wear is not the right word. You're getting better use and continuity of that same firearm from one genre of shooting to another, right? You can go out, look cool, have fun, do your thing, take this off and away you go. So this was made for a standard length Remington 870, right? All you got to do is take off your forestock, off it goes. This slides back up in place. And then you screw on your end cap, lock it down with a little tight, and then this is ready to roll. It's as simple as that.
And what's the retail going to be on that, on those?
On these, I believe we've got them at $300.
That is...
The biggest manufacturing process is this tube, right? Everything else is pretty simple. But basically, to make sure everything ended up as hard as we could possibly get it on the joints, if you will, and in all the wear points and stress points that you're going to have as you're racking the shotgun back and forth, we went and did some post manufacturing heat treat,
right?
So that everything is continuously the same hardness, right? That particular point, basically, the tube gets made, this arm gets made. There's a little insert. I don't know if you can make that out there, but there's a little insert in there and a pin that goes in there. And then on the inside here is a spring and detent and stuff like that that gets ratcheted in there. Once all of those are made, those are pretty easy. From here on, it's relatively easy, straightforward machining. This is a little bit more delicate. It has to be perfect.
Right.
But once we've got that, everything gets welded on, then the heat treating happens, then it gets Cerakoted. So there's a big process to it. But it's well worth it because the initial run of these things have probably been spoken for by now. you know, we've got 10 or 15 in the hopper, 5 up front right now that are basically been finished. And then you're looking at continuing to keep our supply up. Again, all this stuff, if people don't know, is all made in Canada. It's all made here in Belleville, Ontario. By a great machine company that does all of our work. Even the springs we make for our followers are made in Mississauga, right? Okay. Kind of the unofficial hashtag of zero Chinesium, right? Is kind of the way we go. It's not that we have something against China. Why not bring that money home? The circle of life of that dollar bill goes, or in this case, loonie, you know, starts in Canada, bought by a Canadian, goes back to a Canadian company, right? We pay off the other Canadian company that made it and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Regardless of who buys it, being the Americans or Canadian, it doesn't matter. It's all coming back to Canada anyway. So the more we do that, the more we invest in our people, the more we can invest in more people into the business. You know, y'all know the story of it, but yeah, it's one of the reasons why we chose to take all of our lines and make them here in Canada.
And I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So obviously I wanted to talk about the MCS because it's, you know, it's cool. And I really like, obviously the whole point of what we're doing right now is we're trying to showcase Canadian firearms retailers, right? You guys also, we were talking, you guys also are doing all of your, all of your
textiles.
Textiles, that was the word I was looking for. You guys are doing all of those in Canada now too.
Not really good. I should have brought the multicam. But that is our
here.
If we can see that. There we go.
Yep.
There we go. So that's our shotgun chest rig, our micro chest rig. Right? So the beauty here is there's 36 rounds sitting there ready to go. And believe it or not, this thing has taken root with our duck and goose community.
100% believe that.
Right? Yep. It's mounted up high. It's out of the way. It's above your waders.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything's accessible. You have a big pouch pocket up here for your binos. Snacks, or like Amanda likes to say, snacky snacks. right? The backside of this here is, come on, you. Right. We do have a SMG placard, but you know, if you're a 22 guy, you can't have your GSG 16 anymore. So we do have an AR variant of that placard coming out. And on the bottom, you've got a spot here. Same idea. It's going to open up. My old hands and arthritis don't want to do it well. So basically it opens up so you can put a dangler in there. And utilize it for just about anything you want. Medical pouch, more snacks, whatever you'd like. Apparently we're very big on snacks. So it's become a very, very big seller. It accounted for being number two seller in the store completely.
Really?
Yeah.
I can believe that. So I went on a duck hunt this year. That would have been so much more useful than reaching around for more shells in between. Right. You know, I'm going to have to investigate that when we're off the show. That's great.
You are also getting the shot shell strip on there, right? I mean, yeah. Everybody's seen these things out there. Everybody's seen the S-TAC ones. Everybody's seen, I think Vancom makes one. There's all kinds of different versions of this.
Yep.
This is so rigid. It's made with Tigris in there. Right, ballistic materials for body armor.
Yep.
Right, it's so rigid that even when it's fully loaded with ammo, it doesn't bend. It doesn't do this.
No.
Right, where we had one of these done, I think it was Geared to Go. I think did it, and sent us pictures back going, here are my brand new S-TACs that look like this fully loaded, and ours were straight.
Yeah. That's the way you want them.
Right, so we're real happy with that result, and I'll put them against any version of a shot shell strip on the market today.
I do actually have a few of those. All of my like go-to shotguns, if you will, all have that exact stripper on them. Like everyone, that's you guys make the best in that regard. I ordered a bunch of them. Really love those. And then so sorry, as we were as you had mentioned, body armor, S&J also happens to have some of my the only body armor I've ever bought has been from you guys. And perhaps you can talk just a little bit about that if you would mind.
Absolutely. So I'll back up just a smidge. So under the redacted group of companies, you're looking at S&J Hardware, you're looking at Aerotech Research, and you're looking at Rugged Textiles. Rugged Textiles is making all of our textile wear, all the chest rigs, all our pouches, our shot shell strips, all of that stuff. Aerotech Research is our body armor manufacturing company. We all share the same space in Trenton. So
that's a warehouse
that has the same space. So as somebody is trying to adapt a carrier to the armor, we just have a piece of armor over there that they can utilize. It's not like, hey, can you send me something? Or just walk it over and deal with it, right? Or, hey, can we try and prototype something? Our ability to rapid prototype is extreme. We've got another company that is attached to us, although they're not quite in the gun community. Custom Shrouds is fantastic for their rapid prototyping. He's into the police world and stuff like that. We can go in on him a little bit here if you want to, but going back to the armor. So Aerotech Research has the only certified level 4 body armor in Canada. And by certified, I mean this. If you go to the NIJ website, you can go down and you can find Aerotech Research and you can see the certification status of that plate. And it says active. So there's nobody else around. So if you see I'll get into the other side, the word salad. I think we talked about that a little bit too.
We did. Yeah, I've got word salad on my notes here.
Yeah, okay. we are very proud of that. It took us about 3 years. It was a hell of a process to get done, building and sending plates down to Oregon Ballistic Labs, having them test them, and then moving them from there to where they needed to be. So the first two test sets went down, didn't pass for some reason. The third test, we changed a couple of pieces within, I think it was one, in the whole secret sauce and how we made it. And then all of a sudden we're passing with a 30% above standard, right? Which ended up, I think standard, I think we just did, we did a podcast there, myself and Brent from Aerotech. We did a podcast there Monday night, Sunday night. Anyway, I won't mention that podcast, but basically he was saying it was 2850-ish is the standard, and we finished at 3,700 foot per second. So that's a 30-odd six armor piercing traveling at 1,000 foot above standard.
Hmm.
Right? So if you want to get tagged by Uncle Fred's 300 Win Mag or 7 mil Rem Mag, that plate should work just fine.
That's impressive. Yeah, that again, this is why I've purchased from you. Now, my understanding, like those tests are like there's I've got it down in my notes here. Like there's tumbler tests, drop tests, shooting tests, something called a dynamic test.
It's absolutely silly the amount of testing that happens, and that kind of segues us into one of the reasons that we push the Canadian side of this and to educate people within the body armor. The biggest problem is word salad. If you go to, you know, the major events, I won't mention them out loud, but everybody knows, you know, the big events that are open to public. You go to these things, you can buy body armor. You can buy all kinds of it. And people are willing to sell it to you. When you say, is it certified? They go, yes, here it is. And they hand you a sheet that is from maybe Oregon Ballistic Labs, right? That says it was tested, right?
Tested.
It was shot once and passed the criteria. What it didn't do was get shipped there, survive shipping, because our last shipment that went there actually was involved in a rollover in a UPS, I think it was UPS, one of the majors anyway, but it rolled over in a snowstorm somewhere around their hub, and then they picked it back up, got the boxes there. We got a picture of the boxes, and there's not a square corner left on them. Oregon Ballistic Labs was very patient with us. We replaced that, and then that's where that new certification came from. I went right off topic there.
Go ahead. You're talking about word salad.
Yeah. So word salad, he's going to look at you and say, here's the sheet, here's the test criteria, and it passed. And you're going to say, is this Chinese armor? And they're going to go, it passed certification, right? One of the problems with Chinese armor, and again, I'm not knocking the Chinese, but the U.S. and NIJ, the National Institute of Justice, took away the ability for Chinese plates of any sort or anything containing Chinese materials out of the equation. They cannot be certified through NIJ, period.
Right.
Right. So when somebody sends something to Oregon Ballistic Labs and they test it, they shoot it once. What didn't happen was the rollover test. Our first rollover test, let's move into the actual testing, which is you've got a tumbler test, water submersion.
Dynamic escalator.
So you're going to have the drop test dynamic. Yeah. There's a few others in there that I'm forgetting, but there's a whole process to this. And then the plates start getting shot methodically.
Right.
Right. At way below standard. Right. To see if something is different that may happen. Right. So before it actually gets to, I skipped a step, before it gets to actual testing, it then gets inspected after the tumbling and all that other stuff that happened to see if there's any delamination. So has anything come clear of the ceramic? Has anything come apart in the way of the aramid fibers, right? The Kevlars or whatever the cage may be. And if it passes that, then it goes to the next step. So there's pass marks as you go along throughout the process. And then when you get to the final piece, right, they've tested 38 or 39 plates and they have a couple of spares and you pass or you don't pass. You don't pass, too bad, try again, right? It's just not a thing for them. There's no blink of an eye. It's just, we'll see you the next time around.
Yeah.
So, and this is after, so 3 years and at least a million plus of research development and everything else to put back into a plate to get certified, even though that plate was certified prior to us buying the company.
Right. Had to be recertified because there's new company ownership, right?
Right. Exactly. The minute the change in ownership happens, you got to recertify.
Yeah.
So none of this process, none of it is happening to these people at these shows. And they're selling this armor saying it will stop whatever it's rated for. And you're going to say, fantastic, let me buy some because it's super cheap, right? Well, super cheap will probably cost your life if you're using it as personal protective equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like not enough folks know why body armor, and like especially in Canada, is extremely expensive. Like in comparison to a lot of even American counterparts, I've got lots of friends with armor down there, and up here, like our armor is really expensive, but it's a combination of obviously like the time testing, the R&D, and also like my understanding is like, just having a body armor company up here is an expensive endeavor, like governmentally, if I'm not mistaken.
Governmentally, it's not too bad governmentally. I mean, if to own the armor is like opening a store. It's nothing big deal. No big deal. Just make sure you've got your incorporated, your whatever you're doing, make sure your business is correct, and then move on from there. But you have to seek certification. Now, that being said, people make stuff out of ballistic materials all the time, where the ballistic formula or the formula for those ballistic panels that they're making, so say soft armor like an officer would use, you know, that formula has been around forever and it hasn't changed in 20 years at all, unless you add in modern day changes. So from Kevlar to Dyneema, right, which is basically a plastic, right, ballistic plastic.
Yep.
So when you start adding certain differences in there, everybody knows how to make that cheese sandwich, right? It's always the same. It doesn't change. So long as you've got credible sources for your materials, then you should be fine. But it's still not certified. You can put anything together, right? Whether you've got certification or not. So, I mean, the trick to that is if you're looking at law enforcement, say, if you buy armor that isn't certified at NIJ, right, an accredited body, when insurance tries to pay out for the officer that was shot through the armor,
right,
they're going to look at it and say, not happening. Right?
No, that makes sense.
You know, insult to injury to the family of that fallen officer, right?
Yeah,
And I don't want that for anybody,
no
soldier or officer, right? So it's something very dear to our hearts that we really try and educate people on this, left, right, and center.
No, I really appreciate that, and I don't know, I very 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 much in support of, you know, trustworthy stuff. Like you said, when you're talking PPE, you know, it's kind of important that your PPE has been in some way appropriately tested. I can't imagine trusting my life to something that wasn't. And I mean, like, for me, it's not exactly like I'm going around kicking down doors. I don't throw that plate carrier on all that often, but you know, knowing that it was tested to a specific criteria made it worth the money for me. And I think that that's a disconnect for a lot of folks that it's just important to highlight.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know if I had anything. Those were the big points I wanted to talk about. Yeah, we talked
about maybe just a quick overview. So, Sean, what, like, in general, we talked about a couple different products. We talked about some shotgun stuff. We talked about some body armor. Are there any other unique products you guys have, just to kind of round out, like, what else you have on the website? What else you guys
have? We've got some rifle stuff. We're kind of known as the shotgun guys in Canada. You know, so from jumbo safeties to oversized jumbo safeties to our Picatinny rails, our base plates for, you know, our optics plate, sorry, I should say, the Sierra optic plate platform, which will get a kind of a revamp this year sometime.
You guys used to have M14 stuff too, right?
We did, yeah. I mean, yeah. It was, you know, how much?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. I feel the same way.
Sean?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, either you're starting up some new courses as well. Do you want to talk about those a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So in partnership with Phase Line Green, Earl Green of Phase Line Green.
Earl, yeah.
Fantastic guy. We are starting up all available on our website. If you go down the left-hand side of the page, you will see courses. When you go in there, you're going to see a tactical shotgun course. You're going to see handgun level one, handgun level two, and you're going to see a lever gun operator's course. For now.
For now.
More coming, yeah.
Cool. And do you need one of those black lever guns that has the M-lock on it to take the lever gun? Does your lever gun need to have a laser and a flashlight on it?
These courses are bent around competency in the use of that firearm. Being able to load proficiently.
Do you need a certain amount of leather or tassels or
although you're welcome to dial that right up to Wild Bill Cody if you want to. Bill. No, as far as I know, you can run with iron sights, you can run with optics, you can run tricked out completely a la Casa Ludus. You can run whichever direction you would like to run in, so long as that gun is functional and you've maintained it right. You come with a gun that's dripping with oil, you're going to be sat down and told to clean it a little bit. And if it's totally dry, you're still going to get told to clean it quite a bit.
All good. I just, my understanding is also for the right size group, you guys are also willing to travel.
Oh, 100%. Again, going back to my original comments, you never make it hard for a customer to give you money. if you want me to come out or you want Phase Line Green to come out, you can contact me, you can contact them, and we'll arrange all of it for you. And then we'll get you some pricing and set you up. It's just a matter of, it's easier to move one or two people out west than it is to bring 8 or 10 people to the East Coast.
For sure.
You know, no. as many less people in Ontario as we can have.
Hey, I'm here. So just wanted to mention that that the courses themselves, the ones that are currently set up, are going to be happening in Medoc, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah.
Medoc has been extremely gracious in hosting us.
Yeah.
We're looking to do them right by making these courses very successful. And so far right now, quite a bit of the shotgun courses are selling. Two dates, I think, are pretty close to completion, if not one's done, and then there's two others that are close. So we're getting there. Phase Line Green is fantastic. Earl's pedigree is quite renowned. Yeah, so, yeah.
So a couple of things that you guys are really renowned for are your ballistic vests, plates, shotguns, and as well the training. So good on you for getting that back up and running.
You guys are all around just a really cool Canadian company. I'm sorry.
We do try to take the finger and put it in everything we can. One of the other courses that we're looking at developing is the kind of the after the PAL course. You get taught to be safe with your gun, but nobody ever taught you how to shoot it.
Yeah.
Except for us.
Well, I'm not going to shoot CFR. Come on now. But what I am saying is that 90% of the people out there don't know who you are until they're in the midst of it, right? It's kind of like you don't know how cold the water is until you've jumped in the pool.
Yeah.
Right? You know, then you start getting, I just find there's kind of an education curve. You take your course, you pass your test, you get your PAL, you come in and you get your first gun, and hopefully you don't get raked over the coals for the first gun. You need this 1301 right away.
No, 300 Win Mag.
You're right.
It's the right choice for every new gun owner.
I didn't know that was my first gun.
I know this guy. His name is Adriel. He's also known as the Hunting Gear Guy. He has this blog.
Yep.
Yeah, really good.
What places you post plate things, right?
All right. So.
Yeah, so we're looking to do stuff like that to introduce people into the shooting world. But controlled and introductions have to be done properly. There's no sense in sending somebody out to the bush with a slug and saying, here, this will be okay. Right? You know, how many young kids, you know, went backwards in the canoe because, you know, a loved one handed you their shotgun and said, get that duck, you know? So they called it a learning curve, shall we say. That's not something they want for new people, right? It's why we help out at the ladies events too, right? I mean, they already feel marginalized coming into this sport because it is a very male dominated sport, right? They deserve better than that, right? So being able to put on ladies events is fantastic and something where we're completely committed to.
So do you have a target for when you guys are hoping to have something like that up and running?
We're going to try and get most of the summer done, maybe halfway through the summer, before judge the success and how we're doing here, see what the feedback's like, and then start introducing a couple other courses within the mix. You know, the Start the Stop the Bleed courses will come back shortly.
Cool.
That's a good point, right? Yeah. And again, that blends to all of it, right? From shooting to hunting, right? To ATVing, to any outdoor piece. You fall backwards and you impale yourself on a downed tree, right? You stand up going, son of a gun, because you're a stubborn old Irishman like I am, you know, and all of a sudden the back of your leg starts to bleed out profusely, looking like it's a faucet hose being turned off and on in intervals. You need to know how to deal with that.
Yep.
If you don't, well, you're not going to need to know how to deal with it for very long. Right.
Also true.
So, I mean, that's the reality. I mean, there's no way to hide that. I mean, people have to be comfortable with the fact that what you're doing in the wilderness can get yourself hurt. Like, you're out in bear country. You're also probably out in cougar country, right? Mountain lion, whatever we call them out that way, right? I mean, you'd be lucky if you saw them coming, right?
From, you know,
the end of them.
They usually come at you from behind.
That's what I'm told, yes.
The sides, yeah. Like the dinosaurs, the raptors, right?
Oh, the raptors, yeah.
Yeah.
The big kitty I encountered came at us from behind.
Clever girl, yep. Yeah.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Just not saying a word.
What's your approach at the bar, Kelly? No.
Right?
Oh, God. Sorry, I'm spiraling here. It's all
good. Yeah, I don't know. I totally blanked now. That threw me. I had another question. It's gone. That's gone now.
Sorry, my fault.
No, that's
what were we talking about? I think we're talking training still. I think
training. That's right.
Where'd we leave off? I can't remember. But it was training, I believe.
We're
talking about the Stop the Bleed course, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. On that note, does I can't remember if S&J has any like first aid firearms related first aid stuff. Do you guys retail that too?
First aid equipment and person. Absolutely. So all of our stuff is sourced, CTOMS, North American Rescue.
Great.
And so it's all the same stuff that would be issued to a police force, to the military, or anything like that. We try and keep the dollars down on those. We try not to make a ton on them because, well, somebody needs them, and the price, it's already hard enough to get somebody to carry a tourniquet.
Yep.
Right. So carry a tourniquet and an Olaus bandage and, you know, some packing gauze, right? Or quick clot or whatever you may have in a hemostatic. You know, three tiny things that may save your life if things go sideways, right? Yeah.
But you don't want them to have, you know, something they bought on Amazon, though.
Oh, no. Anything that's not certified is not a good idea. Again, going back to the armor side.
Yep.
You know, there is nothing like going, damn, I'm prepared. I got my tourniquet out. I'm applying it and I'm twisting down that windlass and it goes snap.
Yep.
And your last thoughts in this world are like, why did I do this off of Amazon? Buy something that's got credentials, that's being tested everywhere. Right. And if it's issued, well, I shouldn't say that out loud. If it's issued to the military, it's probably good. But when it comes down to the cat tourniquets, they've been proven time and time again.
The best on the market right now.
They are. The soft the soft tee and the cat tourniquets are definitely two of the ones I would highly recommend.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
Every penny. But yes, they have a full range of that, right down to decompression needles.
Yeah. The biggest, you have one of the biggest supplies that I've seen, and I've been into a lot of stores and a lot of retailers, a lot of places. Have what some of the best out there and the biggest supply. So,
yeah. Good to hear.
Yep, I did buy out all your Aguila though recently.
Which one did you buy? The
high velocity. So the 40 grand.
The red and white box, yeah.
Red, yeah, the red and white box. And I also got a nice new, nice little knife that I can actually travel with too. So it was great. Customer service is excellent, by the way. Just have to say, Amanda was fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. Well, she is. That's why we call her Chaos Coordinator, because if we didn't have her.
Yeah, between you and Simon? Yes. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. No, she's lovely. And I really, the location of your store is a really good location. Like, it's right on Highway 2, essentially, is what it is going through. But it's really easy access. Like, as I said, I went there a couple of weeks ago, and it was really easy to get there. So, you have a lot of gear. It's a really good store, Sam.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll visit one day.
Well, there'll be a time, right? You just swing on out.
Well, I try to stay out of Unterrible at all costs, but that's just my own personal bias. Sorry, Kelly.
Layover in Toronto.
That's yeah, there's one or two good people here.
Just a couple.
So, yep.
Yeah, we do try and hit all the marks, whatever we can. We try and get a little bit of everything for everybody. We're not a huge store, as Kelly can attest to. We're not overly small, but, you know.
No.
Right?
There's something for everyone. Like, I bought some stuff in there, and I know the customers that did come in, a couple of people were needed some work done on their guns too. And you and Simon were able to actually do that for them too. So very accommodating. So
we're the only ones in the area doing any smithing.
So, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting too.
We're months in a backlog right now.
Okay. So don't show up with a need for gunsmithing.
Yeah. That, but hey, can you get this ready for the hunt for deer? No.
Yeah, it's backed up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they all want it done yesterday. And, you know, it's just a part. You ordered it. Yeah, from the States. You have any idea? You know, but anyway, customers are customers. They're going to be that way. And I'm okay with that. Right. I mean, you just try and educate and help them along the way. And, you know, some days are rougher than other days.
For sure.
Yeah. Right?
And if you're down, we also have a coffee bar.
You do. And the coffee bar, by the way, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It is a live edge coffee bar with the
table
in the middle. And there's all kinds of things that are in there. There's magazines, there's followers, there's Project Maple Seed founder patches in there. There's
that's why we've noticed the coffee bar, have we?
Yeah, so if you come into the store, you've got coffee, you've got pop, you've got water, you've got Gatorade.
Yep.
Anything you want, it's all complimentary. So
cool. All right, I'll come for a visit.
There you go.
Yes, it sounds good. So, Sean, I think we could chat all night here if we wanted to. Tell us where can people find, like, where can people find your retail store, and then where can people buy stuff from you online?
So, the retail store is simply 444 Dundas Street East, Unit K. We're actually marked S&J Outdoors because the people who did the sign can't spell. We are in Belleville, Ontario, and you can get us online. You just Google SJ or S&J is all I've ever had to do, and I get all of our information up there. If you are a U.S. listener, Canadian podcast, but U.S. listener, we are at sjhardwareusa.com.
Cool. Right? Well, we have a bunch of U.S. listeners, so they'll appreciate that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll appreciate the – apparently down there is a need for bayonets – on shotgun. I can't keep them in stock in the U.S.
Really?
Huh.
Interesting. Just because it's an extra toy. That's what I think it is.
Probably. But nothing says you're committed like a stabby device on a shotgun.
Correct. Up close and personal.
Not only do I want to reload slow, stabby. I want to stab.
Right.
It's for the zombie defense. That's it's for. Sharp pointy stick.
Yep. So social media, you're available on Facebook, Instagram.
Our Facebook, our Instagram, our socials tend to get blown apart by Meta, unfortunately. We get shadow banned. We get ban notices all the time.
Which is a shame because you guys post some fantastic stuff on your social media. I drool over it all the time.
Right, but unfortunately, there's a few out there, but SJ Hardware Outdoors and SJ Hardware are still running on Facebook, and you should be able to find us at SJ Hardware Outdoors on Instagram, if I recall correctly.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for both the time you gave me, because we had a really awesome talk, and also this awesome talk. And yeah, just for being one of those really cool Canadian outfits that's kind of doing a lot for the community, because, you know, having any kind of gun thing in this country is hard.
Yeah,
it is.
It's true.
You know, this industry, I mean, Kelly, you might be able to pull these stats out. I remember pre-COVID, we were an $8 billion a year industry. And now we're down to less than a bill and a half.
That's a shame.
Right? Every mom and pop store out there, everybody that was on the edge of retirement, they're all gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And like I said earlier, big guy, I wish him all the best, but if the semi thing comes in, he's done, I think, sadly, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I mean, that's a legacy that I don't want for him.
Yeah.
So, but it is what it is, and hopefully we see a change in the near future that we can all get around.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks for being on the show, Sean.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you again.
Yep. Say hi to Amanda and Simon for us, okay?
With that, I will.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
You too.
And thanks again, Sean, for coming on. Let's get into listener feedback. Let's see. It says, Tony is just tagging alone. Please read the YouTube comments. Does that mean you want us to read them, Tony?
Well, I don't have access to my technology, do I now?
No, fair. I don't either, because I'm on this stupid Linux OS.
Why you have to go Linux?
All right, one second.
No, you don't. Give me a second. I'll be in. Same thing.
All right, guys.
Huh?
All right.
Yeah, I got it up.
All right.
Justin, that $750 million liberal gun confiscation program is a joke, but one that isn't funny. Think of how our money could have been used to make Canadian lives better. But no worries, King Carney will soon have his coronation because he hasn't been elected. It would be humorous if he didn't call an election immediately. He would be the first prime minister to have to sit outside of parliament while it's in session because he doesn't have a seat in the House.
Right. Now,
that would be funny.
Is he the first?
He'll be the first that happened too.
In Canada?
No, not the first.
No. That didn't have a seat?
Remember last time there was an election for the Liberals? Kim Campbell
had a seat.
No,
yeah, Kim Campbell had a seat.
Yeah, Kim Campbell did. There's another dude. I'm pretty sure had one.
Yeah, I saw there's someone before.
In any case, who cares?
In British history, definitely.
There's going to be an election.
Yeah, rules, who cares? Yep. Also from Eddie, Tony, I don't have a lot of experience reloading for rifle rounds. Wouldn't you tumble clean your brass before you resize, and if necessary, trim and chamfer? My thoughts are I want a clean case going through the resizer die. Nothing gets banged up after that.
That is correct, but my process is a little bit more it depends on what kind of brass I'm working with. So if I'm working with, for example, brass coming out of my Savage Impulse, when I'm sled loading each one of them, I'm ejecting, I'm catching them.
Yeah.
There's some carbon buildup on them, but it's not like it's going to scratch my die.
Penny.
So those, I generally still tumble them, but that's different. So the process for 5.56 223 for me is different because I'm brass gobbling all the range brass. There is.
Yeah.
So because BTSA is a gravel range, that kind of becomes a larger concern in comparison to Chaz, Shore Park, where it's like grass or sand. Well, sand isn't great too, but grass, for example. So what I do is I use a universal decapping die. It helps especially for 223 because the case neck is so small. If you fill it up with water and you invert it, because of the whole tension thing, water actually won't come out of it. So we'll like dramatically increase your drying time. I've
Oh, yeah, you wet tumble. Yeah, for like dry tumbling, I just threw it in there.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to mention that. So if you're doing stainless steel wet tumbling or ultrasonic cleaning, which I don't find very effective, but you might, and then drying becomes a big problem. I have, like, especially Calgary is a very dry place. I have the case stand up in the early days for a week, and there's still water in it. So that's just bad. So in that sense, I do the decap first. So the flash hole is introducing air from the other side, so that the water.
And you get to clean up the primer pocket at the same time.
Well, that's really, you got to clean really aggressively. If you want clean primer pockets, you need to
spin them
in there for like 5-6 hours.
First?
Not necessarily.
You can if you want to.
But it's additional time, right? Especially if you're doing it on a single stage and not fast.
That's true.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. He's also mentioning Surrey covers a large area and has many industrial sections. You'll want to avoid the Wally district in the northwest corner of town. If you go there, I suggest wearing body armor. Your pal should make its possession legal.
S&J Harbor. Get yours.
Yeah, you need a pal in British Columbia to possess body armor.
No. That's the same in Alberta, but like, which area? I haven't got shot yet. I'm still alive.
Wally? Well, the Wally area in Surrey.
What's the Wally area?
Just send me a link to where you are. I'll tell you if you're in Wally or not.
Oh, sure. Yep. I'm in Langley right now, so I think I'm
fine. Oh, well, you're fine.
You're fine. Yep.
Yeah.
Eddie continues, Kelly, so you hate everyone in politics, but do you hate them all equally? Does your charter right to freedom of expression not allow you to express your opinion on political parties? I don't see a problem if you're expressing your personal opinion when you're not representing the federal government.
No.
The email you received sounds like grounds for a challenge.
It's been a charter challenge.
Someone else.
So because I'm a public servant, I cannot have an opinion.
Yeah.
I cannot actually.
Can your charter be violated in this
sworn
way?
Yes.
Our
charter is not absolute.
No.
Not at all.
This is Canada. No. You have no rights and live the government decides.
Have you looked at the Charter of Rights and Freedoms?
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he probably knows it better than we do. CCFR TV has got some flames on our last episode. And that's all of them. Let's see. Where's that take us to? Facebook comments. I think we've been hitting them as we've been going along. Instagram, Discord, Spotify. If you're on Discord, head on over there. We're talking about MDT's got a new 3D printed timer holder. So like for a really cheap timer, you can get this 3D printed thing. It puts it on the side so you can time your PRS stages on the cheap. Like literally like one of those like egg timer kind of a things where you like click start and it just starts counting and you just 3D print something to hold it. I love it.
It's so heavy.
Yeah. No, like a little timer.
Sell their proprietary timer thingy?
Yeah, but this is another thing that's like super cheap. Anyways, check it all on Discord. Brownells, Cabela's, we'll do that later. But if you're going to buy something from Cabela's or Brownells, head out to our website first, click the link, and then buy the thing. It's not going to cost anything extra, and it helps us out with hosting and StreamYard and other costs for the show. Thanks to our new Patreon, Ken J. Ken, I will get your patch in the mail soon. Soon might be a week, but somewhere in there, a weekish. If you'd like to help us support us.
To me.
What's that?
You could have just offloaded that duty to me and you don't have to worry about
it. Oh, yeah. I could do that. Maybe just get them all over to you. If you'd like to help support us, you can do so on Player or Patreon. If you'd like to email the show, have it read on air, email slamfireradio@gmail.com. Does anyone have any shout outs, podcasts, or YouTube recommendations?
Just a shout out to Sean for coming on. That was really great.
Yep. Cool.
I missed the show, but I will listen on the plane.
All right. Finally, join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Maybe tomorrow. I set up a provisional episode for tomorrow. Join the CCFR
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.